Then in this part of the show now, I'm going to be talking to Denise Kelly and Blake Hodkinson. Have I got the name right there, Blake?
You do. You have okay. It right. That's perfect.
So I'll have both your titles then.
I'm the Director of Schools for City of Dublin Education and Training Board.
Okay.
I'm Director of Further Education and Training for City of Dublin Education and Training Board, and I was Principal at two of their schools before that.
Okay. Now, what are we going to be talking about? The new school for around Donaghmede, is it going to... It mentions Donaghmede and all around the surrounding areas. Is it one school we're talking about?
Yes, we are, although we don't actually know where exactly it's going to be yet, Noel. The Minister hasn't announced the location, only that it's going to be in the Donaghmede, Hoth, Dublin 13, Belmain, Clongriffin area, which is, as you say, quite a large area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've just been talking to Councillor Michael and Brian about the changes in the bus routes. Let's hope to put it on a bus route.
Yeah,
one of the new ones. Okay, how hard has it been to get this to reach fruition? I mean, it's been a long, hard battle to get a school and another school in this area, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's been huge growth in the area. So locally, people are saying that it's likely to be either in Belmain or in Clongriffin. And Clongriffin, as we know, it has long been in need of services and facilities there. I mean, there are 5,000 people apparently living in Clongriffin at the moment, and it's due to grow to 20 to 25,000 over the next 5 years. So there certainly would seem to be a need for a post-primary or secondary school mm-hmm. in the area.
Okay, and Blake, what's your involvement?
I suppose I'm just part of the CDETB and I'm trying to help us recruit the school, because parents get to choose what type of patronage or what type of school they would like. And so we're offering a school that's inclusive, that is multi-denominational, co-educational, basically one of the brilliant schools that we already, like one of the schools we already run. It's community-based, it's... What else do I need to say? We're publicly owned and publicly managed. One of the big differences between us and other patrons is we manage our schools. So when I was principal of, say, Merino College, if I had a problem, the head of finance would give me a dig out. Mm-hmm. Or if I had a problem with HR or industrial relations, the head of HR would give me a dig out. And it freed me up a lot of the time to focus more on the education. So there's a building officer. Mm-hmm. So if you ever had a flood in the school, it wasn't me ringing up contractors, putting out to tender. Mm-hmm. Head office managed that, which allowed me to stay focused on the children.
Okay.
I suppose over 80 years, the City of Dublin Education and Training Board has built up a vast amount of experience. Because, as you probably know, Noel, we offer not just secondary education, but also further education colleges and post-leaving certs, training programmes, adult ed programmes, part-time courses, night schools. So there's really a vast amount of experience that has been built up there, and it's enabled us to be very much community-based wherever we have a school. Mm-hmm. So our secondary schools are almost bespoke, catering for the needs of the students in them. And one of the examples I could give you on that would be Larkin College in the city centre, where we have scholarships available there. So not only can we offer the academic, and many of our young people go on to do medicine, law, engineering and so on, all of the traditional, higher level or higher education courses. But we also then have scholarships for young people who are particularly talented, let's say, in soccer or in mm-hmm. drama, dance or the arts. So they do their academic studies and at the same time they can specialise in those other areas.
Okay, do you have any information that you need to get out there to people, and then we repeat it at the end of the interview as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're asking parents to give us the privilege of educating your child from 12 to 18, and you need to go on the Department of Education and Skills website and vote for CDETB, which stands for City of Dublin Education and Training Board, and the URL for the website is https://patronage.education.gov.ie. Okay. It's quite a long...
An attractive URL.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, quite a long URL. But it's very easy to negotiate once you get in there. Parents need their child's PPS number and they need their postcode.
Okay. But I suppose the thing is, we'd accept a second place vote too. It's a bit like a general election. Okay. We can vote first, second, third or fourth. And if you want a multi-denominational school in the area that reflects the population of the area, where not everyone is Catholic, not everyone is one religious denomination, then we'd love to provide that.
Okay, and so people have to be proactive to get you involved.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, you can't be appointed by the government or anything like that. It's the is it the public that... the parents?
The minister will ultimately make the decision, but the vote of the parents plays a huge role in this.
And what's the alternative?
The alternative is, you know, other patrons who are going forward. Mm-hmm. Obviously, who are not here to promote, but there are other patrons involved in it.
I think I probably, like most people, I don't understand politics or the way all the schools are done now, and that's why I'm asking these type of questions.
So you'd have, say, Lekela were interested, and they'd be a governing body for Catholic traditional schools. Mm-hmm. You'd have Educate Together who are interested in being a patron, and you have another group called School Sinead who are interested in being a patron. And I suppose what makes us stand out is our 80 years of experience. Like years ago when we noticed that children weren't all completing their Leaving Cert, it was CDTB that suggested we set up the Leaving Cert Applied, and then we helped the whole of the country set it up. And same with the Junior Cycle Schools programme. So all in all, like, we do have 80 years of experience, good and bad experiences, but we've learned a huge amount, and we'd love to run another school.
Mm-hmm. And any idea of the size of the school? I mean, you don't know the location, but any idea what the size is going to be?
Yeah, it is set to have 1,000 students.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'd like to make...
They're going to need some site for that, aren't they?
Yeah, but hopefully what we do in quite a few sites is we share with Dublin City Council. And when you're willing to share with Dublin City Council, like, say, in Cloche to Eid, or like in Inchicore, or like in St. Kevin's, they're willing to put in extra large sports facilities because they know the community get to use them all at the weekend. And we're in the lucky position then that Dublin City Council manages those sites for us. And we'd also plan on putting in a night school into the area. So if anyone wants to, say, improve their English, if English isn't their first language, if they want to do a skills course in woodwork, if they want to become an SNA, you know, QQI level 5, we hope to provide that within the school, like we do in many of our other colleges, say in Cloche Dulig nearby. Like, the ETB runs a lot of successful schools in the area, say Cloche Dulig FE College, Cloche Dulig, Merino College, you know. We're not new to the area. We've been here for.
It's definitely going to be co-ed, is it?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, the other idea that we have is that part of the facilities in the school would be shared spaces for the community. So you could, for example, have meeting rooms which could be used during the school or during the school day by the school, and then the school could be locked off at night, but those common areas could be available to the community. Mm-hmm. And we know that, for example, in Clongriffin, there is a huge need there for shared facilities. So that would be one of the ideas that we would like to pursue.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
Well, we know that what you've laid out there, but how much of a chunk, as a patron, are you, say, on the school board? If you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, we don't have just school boards. The City of Dublin Education and Training Board, I suppose, is more accountable maybe than many other patrons, in that we have the CDETB board, and then we also have a board of management at school level. So everything is very accountable, if you like.
Layered.
It's layered. Yeah, that's right. And we do have a councillor, a Dublin City Councillor, on all of our boards. We don't have to, but we find that that's a good way of making sure that the school is connected to the community. And then you have parents' representatives, teachers' representatives, and so on the local board as well. Mm. So it's very democratically run.
Okay. Is there anything that's sort of missing there? That I mean, I don't know if you can belatedly put anything into a school that has been missing. But when you get a new school, you say, okay, you talked about sport, for instance. There are a lot of schools that don't have the facilities for some sports. So that sort of thing. And you hope that everything across the board will be in this one. Is there anything in particular?
Well, as part of City of Dublin ETB, we have a group called the Sports and Cultural Council, the SEC, and they run around 95 competitions throughout the year, because we know not every child wants to play rugby, or not everyone wants to play field hockey. And so we'd offer, say, rock climbing competitions, debating competitions, drama, poetry, and we try and offer a whole eclectic range, hoping that the child will hit on something that they want to keep up for the whole of their lives. So And this school would be automatically tapped into that. So recently we set up a school in the Whitehall area called Clonturk, and we co-run that with Educate Together. And we found, well, they have found...
Is that sort of Plunkett's old school?
It is, yeah, the very one. And so, but that school has found it very beneficial to be part of the ETB, because not only do they have all our experience and expertise of the last 8 years, but they also have access to, say, all the different sporting competitions, the different sports facilities we have. So we'd have, say, sports grounds in Terenure, we'd have different AstroTurfs in, say, St. Kevin's, that we can access on an ongoing basis.
Okay, so you have all the alternatives right across the board that you can access.
And we'd have a relationship with, say, Fingal Sailing School out in Malahide through Cloche to Doolig. We have our own outdoor sports department, which will organise trips for the children out during the year. And because we know, you know, we have these wonderful mountains all around us, and it's a shame that some children never get access. And they also organise, say, canoeing, sailing, and different trips throughout the year.
Okay.
So this is all on top of the traditional, because sometimes people conflate the CDETB with only vocational education, and that was years ago that was the case. But now, of course, we offered the traditional junior cycle leaving certificate subjects like other schools. And in fact, Ringsend College students launched the BT Young Scientists competition this year. We've had a lot of success across the board academically as well. So we like to think that we're very much holistic, and we don't just say that, we actually are. And the example that Blake just gave you there of the SCC, the Sports and Cultural Council, is an example
and
of
all
that.
All the auxiliary stuff attached. Do you have any say at all in the building of the school, or are you just going, putting yourself forward as a patron, or, you know, if when they get the location and the minister and everyone gets together, do they say, well, okay, bring everyone in that wants to be involved and give me your ideas? Does any of that go on?
Well, certainly, if we're lucky enough to become patron and chosen by the minister to be patron, then our buildings department, as Blake said, would be the representatives for us there who would be working with the
So you're involved, if you become the patron, you're involved from the get-go in every aspect of it?
Yeah, you would have a say, absolutely, yeah, you would have a say in that.
That's what I was asking earlier on, like, is there anything that you've seen sort of lacking in other schools? Not big things, but you could say, well, this could be a big improvement.
But
depending on the size, of course.
And we've some great ideas to put into a school, but, you know, I'm just going to say there's a few other things we have to offer. And we have our own training department for the teachers, above and beyond what other teachers access from every other school. So they get trained in multiple different things that we think would help enhance the education we provide. We have our own psychological department, psychology department, and they help support the students. So around 12 years ago, they set up something called student support teams. And now they were called care teams back then. Mm-hmm. And around 2 years ago, with the help of NEPS, which is the national body, they helped map that out to all schools in Ireland to make sure all students get the same level of support as CDETB. But you'll find there'll be a lot of cutting edge things going on within the ETB between having your own psychological department, your own training department for teachers, that the sky's the limit, I think.
Did you have any involvement in the selection of teachers or anything like that?
Oh yes, completely. Yeah, okay. We interview and appoint all our own teachers. And the great advantage of being such a large organisation is that a teacher is recruited to the City of Dublin Education and Training Board, not just to a school. Mm-hmm. So when we, for example, have a need in one school or college and we have a surplus maybe somewhere else, then we can share that around and you're not stuck as some schools are, you know, in recruiting who you need to match your criteria.
Mm-hmm. It's a great benefit for the school and the teachers, where, let's say, if you wanted a change, the teacher could apply for a transfer. Or if somebody else must say to retire, somebody else could move across and fill that space. So sometimes we can move staff around like that. And that really enhances the provision, because it means teachers don't just go into one school and stay there for the 40 years of their working life and then walk out the door at the end when the time is done. It means some of the teachers will have taught maybe 5 or 6 venues, different settings, and really have a broad experience of education.
Okay, you have, I mean, you know, as you said yourself, going back 80 years and with all the innovations that you've come up with, any idea of the school itself, from what age to what age it's going to be?
12 to 19, roughly. You know, your standard secondary school, 6-year cycle. Yeah, that is the provision.
Yeah, depending, of course, on what the community wants, what the parents and students want, they'll be helping us to shape what it is that we offer in the school. So if they want a transition year, for example, we can do that. If they want, as well as the traditional leaving certificate, if they want an LCA, we can do that. One of our schools has an autism unit. So if they're, you know, if that is a need of the community, we can do that. So in the same school where there is an autism unit, Colostia Owen, we have an Air Force pilot and a science doctoral student in Trinity College. So that really gives you an idea of the breadth of provision that we have.
And leading up to it, as I say, there's the location, the school's going to be built sooner, we hope, rather than later. I have to, every time I talk about the government, I have to keep saying that because it's usually later. But anyway, when does all this discussions take place with parents and all like that? Is it in the course of the building before it's built? But once you have the location, is that when everything starts, kicks off?
Well,
and you've been appointed.
Yeah, I can only tell you what we've been told, Noel, by the Minister's Department, which is that they want to appoint a principal as soon as possible. Usually the principal of a new school is appointed about 12 months before the school opens. So it's due to open in September 2019. It does seem a bit of a dream to be able to, you know, to think that it would open that quickly, but that is the Minister's plan for the moment, and we can only go by that. So yeah, all of those discussions and so on, there would be, you know, public meetings and so on that would lead up to and in parallel with the building of the school. It's likely to be, I'd say, a temporary building to start, because most new schools start off that way. But I have to say the standard of temporary accommodation nowadays is absolutely superb compared to what we might have known in our day.
Is that why you think it's going to be quick? I'm trying to digest all the information to the extent of, you know, it's going to be built in, say, 13 months. And then all of a sudden, well, it's going to be temporary for us, and that then it's going to be the real build. It doesn't sort of compute in my brain to that extent that, okay, you build, it's like some of the hubs that they're building now. You take them down to build something else. It just seems like a waste of money.
I think it's the planning application process, that it's quicker to put in the temporary build, and then it gives you a bit more space to say, here is the plan, put it out to tender to see who wants to apply to build it. And then usually they have around 2 or 3 months before they have to start. So even if a company is awarded it, they mightn't necessarily have all the engineers and builders lined up to start that day. And so, you know, it is a bit of a convoluted process, but it's worth it in the long run.
Okay, Denise, I think the word dream was in there. And that's the word I would stick to for a while. But yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic all the way, as I said yourselves, 80 years in business yourselves. Any sort of minefields that you've come across? This wouldn't be the first sort of new school that you've gotten involved with. I know I asked for any sort of things you've seen lacking, but has there been any minefield? Let's say, for instance, this one. Is there any way that you could say, well, look, there's a different way of doing this? I mean, this may sound complicated. I'm just trying, as I say, compute the information. For instance, is the reason they appoint a principal 12 months before the school is built so he can consult with the likes of whoever gets appointed, with the parents, to get everything ready for it? Is that the whole idea?
To start to put in policies in place.
Can I just say he or she?
Yeah. Or she, yeah, of course. He or she,
Yeah, to get the policies in place, to meet the parents, to start to build that relationship. Because the school is about relationships, about trust. And if you don't know the principal, it'd be very hard to send a child to a school where you don't know the principal, don't know the building, and don't know anything about it, because it has no history. So it's to start that whole process. I think if you look at, you know,
Clonturk, for example, you know, where the parents decided they didn't want a uniform, which is fine, so we don't have a uniform in Clonturk. It's very democratically run. The students have a voice, and that's something that City of Dublin Education Training Board have rolled out across all our schools now, student voice, so that we take feedback from the students, not just on the old traditional things like whether or not we have a canteen or whether or not we have a uniform, but actually how we learn, how we like to learn, and therefore how we like our teachers to teach us. And that's the whole new way of thinking now, Noel. I've just come from NCCA, where I worked for 5 years on the new junior cycle. And all of the new junior cycle is about that sort of bespoke, tailor-made education, where we get kids more proactive and actually have them learning how to apply the learning, as opposed to simply learning things off by rote just to pass an exam. So our teachers were lucky enough to be way ahead in terms of the training that they received, just because of the industrial relations dispute that went on at the time. So again, you know, our teachers would be familiar with the newer methods of teaching and learning.
Yeah, I think that's been sort of the complaint of going back many, many years, that kids were absorbing information to just to recite it as it was written, but they don't take it all in.
Exactly.
Like the old catechism that we used to have, which someone got rid of. Anyway, anything else that's coming up? What way can people help out in the sense of, I know you've
given it
before,
sign up.
So give us it now and all the information again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we are a semi-state accountable body. Comptroller, Auditor General checks our accounts every year. Everything is above board. We employ 728 teachers at the moment. We've 3,600 staff. Jane, we're quite a large operation within the city of Dublin. We manage the SUSE grants for the whole of Ireland. We're here for the long run.
Okay.
The long haul.
So what's the time frame? How long have people got?
They've got very few days left.
Really?
I'm afraid, Noel. Yeah, at the end of this month. So really this week is the last chance to vote. So if they live in the Donaghmede, Howth, Dublin 13, Belmain, Clongriffin area, they have to go on https://patronage.gov.ie and vote for CDETB to be your patron.
So I have to say, like you mentioned it there, like how the explosion of people and the growth in the communities in and around the area. I mean, if you drive from here and head down Tongley Road and then go up into Donaghmede and head back way into Malahide, it's the houses, and the houses that's gone up there is massive.
Absolutely huge.
You know, so I mean, you're right, the school is needed. And the kids coming up, you're going to be talking about thousands, I think
yeah,
you might need more than one school
near
eventually.
The graveyard. And
it's an
amazing explosion of people.
Yeah. Okay, well, listen, that was complicated, Denise, so for me, because I'm not a techie person, so I want you to do it again.
Can I just say, it's simpler if you went to the Department of Education website, there'll be a link there.
Okay.
Because no one's going to remember the patronage thing. Now, and the other thing, just to let people know, is you have to have a child who's about to go to secondary school, so they have to be in, say, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth class. Because if you've no children, you're not allowed to vote.
Okay.
Okay. And,
yeah, no, I'm just thinking of the people who just moved into the house and would say, okay, get going there. Adopt a few kids for a couple of months. I'm just joking. I guess slap on the hand of that. Anyway, Denise, thank you very much for coming in and talking to us about that, and good luck with that.
Thank you very much.
And we keep an eye and see will the dream happen.
Thanks for having us.
Brilliant.
And that's Denise Kelly and Blake Hodgkinson.